a husband and wife stand next to a mound of fresh dirt, the grave of their child. Words have been spoken. Prayers have been prayed. Flowers have been strategically placed. The crowd has dissipated. And now, they're alone. They're alone with each other. They're alone with their thoughts. Their eyes connect. They embrace. And together they begin to sob. And one says to the other, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And at the core of his very being, he knows it's going to be okay, but it will never be the same. Life is hard. But even more than that, there are times when life hurts. And it reminds us of what we find in Job 14, verse 1. Man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. All it takes is a phone call from the highway patrol. Just one visit to the doctor's office. Just one "Dear John" note of betrayal from someone to whom you've given your heart. And all of a sudden, your life is shattered. Your dreams are scattered across the horizon of uncertainty. And all that matters is trying to survive just today. Families struggle. Individuals which constitute the family struggle. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 6 by means of introduction and see if you haven't sometime or another in your life felt this way, just to emphasize the fact that life is hard and life hurts, and yes, family, yea, individuals struggle. In Psalm 6, we begin with verse 2 where David says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak." One translation says, "I am languishing." Literally, "I am feeble. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed, troubled, terrified. My soul, the inner man, is also sore, vexed, troubled, terrified." Paraphrased, "Man, sometimes I find it hard to get up in the morning. In fact, I'm just afraid to do so." As we follow the personal pronoun "I," as it occurs four times in this psalm, we drop down to verse 6. "I am weary. I'm weary with my groaning." Paraphrased, I not only find it hard to get up in the morning, I find it difficult to keep going through the day. All the night, again verse 6, make I my bed to swim. An hyperbole that says in thought, I find it hard to get up in the morning. I find it hard to get through the day. And you know, when I get to bed at night, I just can't. I find it hard even to sleep. And so the last personal pronoun, I, verse 6, water my couch with my tears. I find it hard to get up in the morning. I find it equally difficult to get through the day. And when I go to bed at night, I find it hard to sleep. And it seems like all I do is just cry all the time. Can you relate? Have you ever been there with your life? I have. And ladies and gentlemen, when you find yourself in times like that, you cry and you want to know why. But it's not that philosophical question of why that we've been assigned tonight. It's more of a practical question. How? When times like these arise in our lives as families or as individuals, how do we get up in the morning? How do we get through the day? And how do we get through the night? And how can we sooner or later at least have a more protracted period of time between our tear fest? So here's what I would like to do as we consider helping families when they struggle. I'm going to ask you tonight to pick up your Bible and turn with me to two Psalms. They're very brief, in fact. Both of them have only 6 verses. Now, with the first Psalm, we're going to look at what we might anticipate when the storms of life blow in our direction. And then with the second psalm, we will focus on how we might navigate through the gales of the storms of life when they blow in our direction. Are you ready? With Bible in hand, turn with me to the first psalm of our consideration. Turn with me to Psalms 13. We will read the psalm and then we will watch it unfold for our thoughts. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. As we focus on Psalms 13 and what we might anticipate when the storms of life blow in our direction, could I consider that the psalm can be divided into two divisions? First of all, I can anticipate a time in which I will grieve when the storms of life blow my way. And in point of fact, as we read verses 1 through 4, we can see that in this status of grief, there are some feelings that we just might need to get ready for. For example, as I read this Psalm of David, I learn that when I grieve amidst the struggles of life, problems just might seem to be unending. Will this ever go away? Four times he asks the same question. Verse 1, how long? Verse 1, how long? Verse 2, how long? Again, verse 2, how long? Will this ever go away? Problems will seem unending. I know the New Testament says, our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. But ladies and gentlemen, when you find yourself in the death knell grip of grief, it does not seem for a moment. It seems as though it will never end. I can anticipate feelings like that. At the same time, from the pen of David, when the storms of life blow in my direction, I can also, in a state of grief, feel as though God is unattached, at a distance, unconcerned. I mean, I've always believed He exists. I believed in His existence. But in a time of grief, I might find myself wanting to question His benevolence. And that thought is behind every single time we have asked the question, why? This is something that's supposed to come into the life of someone that lives in a brothel. Why my life? Death is supposed to knock on the door of someone that is a certain age or struggling with a certain illness. Why did it have the audacity to come and knock on my front door and camp on my front porch? Why, Lord? And He seems to be so far away. Listen to David. How long will you forget me? Forever? Are you going to turn your back on me from now on? How long will you hide your face from me? Do you not look in my direction anymore? Can't you see what's going on in my life? God will seem at a distance when you're in the throes of grief. I know the Bible says, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And you may never doubt that. But you may question, where is He? As you contemplate the, I know you care, but aren't you there? And then when I'm in the throes of grief, I might struggle with my prayer life at times. Prayer will seem unsuccessful. In verse 3, David has the respectful and reverent gall, if you please, to challenge God. Consider, he writes, and hear me. Could I translate that in a different way? Look at me. Pay attention to me, God. There will be times when you ask, I know you're listening, but why aren't you doing something about this? Do you have a secret place? Jesus tells us to go to our secret place and pray in secret. I have a secret place. Man, there have been times in my life that I have literally worn the carpet of that secret place out. And I know there are times that I've prayed to God and I have said, Lord, I just don't understand this. I believe you. I believe you're hearing me. But I just don't understand this. I have prayed this prayer and prayed this prayer, and you know my heart, and you know that it is selfless. You know that if you said yes, it would make my life a little more challenging. Why aren't you saying yes? Why are you saying wait? And prayer is something you might struggle with. I know the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, is powerful. James 5:16. But when you're in the throes of grief, prayer can at times seem extremely impotent. Problems seem permanent. God seems indifferent. And prayer seems impotent. Now that's what we can expect, anticipate, when we struggle as individuals or even as a family. And yet as we read Psalms 13, we can see that there is another division on a far more positive note. For though it says, I will in the times of struggle grieve, it also says, I must still believe. Watch the last two verses. They begin with that conjunction of contrast. But, okay, I have felt this way in a time of grief, but I have trusted in thy mercy. David learned he needed to look up. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. As he looked up and thought about God, he was willing to look ahead at the deliverance that God would bring to him in his state of struggle. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. David learned to look back. Put it all together. In the storm of life, in the grip of grief, David learned, by looking backward, God has been so good to me, so gracious in his dealings with me. I'm going to keep on looking up to God and know that as I look ahead in the future, things are going to work out. Some matters that we might anticipate when the storms of life blow in our direction. On this note of thinking more about God than grief, we turn to our second psalm of the evening. And with our second psalm, we focus on some things to consider that can help us navigate through the gales of these storms that blow in our direction. Our second psalm, the psalm that calms the troubled soul. Psalms 23. Turn with me if you would. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm sure in your study of Psalms 24, you have seen before that this psalm is another six-verse psalm that casually divides itself into two basic segments. The first is rather theoretical, talking about God. The second is more practical, where David talks to God. And as we contemplate David's words of Psalms 23, we might capsule both of these divisions in two thoughts that can help us navigate through the storms of life. Here's thought number one. As we try to navigate through the storms of life, we need to remember the words of David who said, "I shall not want." And that, ladies and gentlemen, because in these first three verses, David talks about a God that will provide. And so when it comes to working through life's difficulties, we need to take pause and say, "I will not want. My God is there, and He will provide that which is needed." Now in this psalm, the first three verses, God is said to do four things. Watch carefully. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And here's the first one. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Don't miss the way the psalmist worded that. He makes me do this. You see, it's not natural for us in time of grief and difficulty to take pause in life. I'm telling you, my work was my salvation in that time of difficulty. I'm sorry, I just need to stay busy and keep my mind active so that I can keep it off of my difficulty. And we think that we can work ourselves through the struggles of life. And here's a psalm that offers calm to the troubled soul. And it starts by saying, God wants me to take pause. God makes me take pause, take time to heal. Now that's the first thing I need to remember when it comes to my times of struggle. When I'm in a time of grief, when I still believe, I need to pause and I need to know I'm going to take some time to heal. And there is no magic number. 3 months, 7 months, a year and a half, whatever. We're all individuals. We must take time to heal. The second thing that this psalm tells us that God does, again, verse 2, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Literally, "He leadeth me beside the waters of rest." If you've done any study in Psalms 23, you know that sheep are very timid animals. And it doesn't take much to spook them. And so here we go. "He leads me as one of His sheep to quiet waters of rest." He leads me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, it is the hand of God who leadeth me. That's the second thing I need to remember when life is hard. Take the time to heal and turn your attention to God. Here's the third thing that our psalm tells us that God does. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." Years ago, I read that little book by Philip Keller, "A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. And on this particular phrase, Philip Keller references something called a cast sheep. Because they're full of wool, it's easy for sheep to, of course, get top-heavy. And if they fall, because they are top-heavy, they find it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to right themselves and get back up on their feet. And so the shepherd has to constantly look out over his flock. And when he sees a cast sheep, he needs to go to its attention. Because in that cast status, blood gases build up in the outer extremities of the body, restrict the blood flow, and ultimately, not only will the outer extremities die for a want of blood, but the sheep itself will die. And so the shepherd has to look out for the cast sheep, and when the sheep is cast, he comes over and he rights the sheep, or he helps the sheep get back up on his feet. Ah! He restores my soul. That's the third thing I need to remember. When life is full of struggles, I need to take time to heal. I need to follow the lead of God through the teachings of His Word. And I need to let God get me back on my feet. The fourth thing that our psalm tells us that God does is, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Paths of righteousness. I'm reminded of Psalms 119, 172, all thy commandments are righteousness. You see, righteous is who we are. Righteousness is what we do to make us righteous who we are. And so He leads me in paths of what His commands teach, His commandments. That's the fourth thing I need to remember when I find life very difficult. Take the time to heal. Follow the lead of God by turning to passages that He has given me that calm, that deal with comfort. Let Him set me back up on my feet, and by doing what He commands me to do, even though I hurt, I must continue to do and to be what is right. Now let's make a little application to those four observations. Could I suggest that as we turn to those words, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, in those words we find the challenge to be still and relax in the face of life struggle. Be still and know that I am God, Psalms 46, verse 10. He leads me beside the still water. Could I suggest that from those words we get the lesson of application? We need to listen to God. I'll just guess at the years, but approximately 75 years ago, there's a young man preaching the gospel away from home at the time. Fire begins to rage at his house. He hurries back only to learn that his preschool daughter has been burned to death. It nearly sent him to an early grave. But Franklin Camp learned to find comfort and strength in a particular portion of his Bible. Fast forward 50 years. There's a time in the life of a man named William Woodson when he is struggling greatly with life and with the challenges of leadership and the brotherhood. And he knocks on the door of his mentor, Franklin Camp. And Brother Camp says, William, lay down on that couch. And Brother Woodson lays down on that couch. And Franklin Camp sits down and opens his Bible to the sections of Scripture that gave him comfort amidst his struggles. And he began to read. And he read from the Psalms. Fast forward about another 15 to 20 years, and the darkest moment my life has ever experienced up to this time found William Woodson knocking on my back door at my request. He was my mentor. He came in, and he and I sat down on our couch together. We studied a particular passage of Scripture that was of interest and concern to me, and then he began to share what I have just told you with me. I won't get into the privacy of what he was struggling with, but I will tell you what he told me to help me get through the dark moments of life. Brother Woodson said, Dan, he said, spend some time with the Psalms. And for the rest of the year, I opened up my Bible every morning, every evening, and I read a psalm once, twice, and then I began to outline it. And I found myself writing in the margin, man, I know how that feels. Whoa, I've been there, and it's amazing how that section of Scripture addresses a broken heart. Do it. And whenever you come to a verse that employs the word trust, underline the whole verse and circle the word trust and see what it does for your troubled soul. Listen to God. And then this phraseology, He restoreth my soul. Let God put you back on your feet. I find in the struggles of life, when I try to work it out, I make a bigger mess than I had before I started with. Amen? But when I step back and give the problem to God, I get ready, and every time, without fail, I stand amazed in the presence of His providence. Let God work. Give your problem to Him. And then that last phrase, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what you do, when you face life's challenges, never, ever, ever do anything but what is right. And remember, this psalm says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, the difficulty you're experiencing in life and the way you handle that difficulty is one of the greatest ways that you as a human being can glorify your God. You need to let the world know this is what God can do for a human being when life hurts as well as when life is hard, and show them by your faith and your courage what Psalms 23 is all about. Not only does David say, I shall not want, but he makes this statement in the second place and in the second part of the psalm. He says, I will not worry. Now, I know he doesn't use the word worry. He uses the word fear. But fear doesn't start with a W, so I use the word worry. Want, worry, they go together, don't they? And if you take Billy Smith's Prep and Dale, they all have to start with the same letter. I will not worry. As you read the last three verses of the psalm, David shifts, as you've seen before, I'm certain, from he makes, he leads, he restores, he leads to now. It's like David couldn't talk about God without breaking into a desire to talk to God. And so now the pronoun shifts from he, a distant he, to a more personal thou or you. And it is also found directly or indirectly four times to make four statements. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will fear no evil. I will not worry. For, statement number one, thou art with me. Not over me. Not behind me. Not around me. You're with me. You're experiencing this in life right here with me. The Old Testament word for mercy carries with it the concept of getting inside the skin of another human being and living life from their perspective. That's mercy. And that's what I'm reading about here. David says, God, you are inside my skin. You know how I feel. And then in the same verse, implied, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou, you, comfort me. Not sympathizing. I'm with you. Thinking about you. But I know how you feel. Now, let's get through this together. You comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Do you have enemies? Believe me, you don't want them. You don't want to be in the crosshairs of somebody that has as their intent for the day your destruction. But even when you do, somebody's preparing the way ahead of you. So you don't know what's on the morrow, but you know who's on the morrow. And it's that trust that allows you to keep going. Last of all, it says, thou anointest my head with oil. I understand that such is a reference to shepherds anointing the head of sheep with specific oil to keep the gnats away, to keep the insects away as they continue to nurture them on the grass around them. So he anoints me. Could we make some applications to those four observations and then bring things to a close? I suggest from this idea, thou art with me, I need to remember when I struggle, God, though at times he seems at a distance and indifferent, God is always there. He is always there. Hebrews 13:5, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. Forsake thee. Ekatalipo. Lipo, leave, kata down, ek or in. It's not the meaning of the word, but the word picture of putting those three together for one carries the idea of, I will not leave you down in that. He's there. And then from this phrase, he comforts me. Could I suggest that we take home the idea that God really is not only there, but God cares. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. You mean God knows my situation? He knows your name. He knows the feelings of your heart. And he really, really hurts with you and cares. What a thought. And then from the phrase, "Thou preparest a table before me," I can't help but let my mind wander to what Jesus said when he said, "I go to do what? Prepare a place for you." And if I understand the emphasis of that passage, it's directing my heart back to the concept of he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. At this very moment, Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he's there for one expressed purpose: to call my name before the presence of God Almighty and ask for God's care to flow in my direction. He's there right now preparing a place for me amidst life's struggles, as well as in the face of my sins. And then in this phrase, "Thou anointest my head with oil," you might not agree with me, but as I turn back into the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it tells us that we have an anointing. And if I understand that, it's a reference to the relationship that we as Christians have with the Holy Spirit. Now take that to Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit chapter of the New Testament, and direct your thoughts to the idea that you live, dwell in the Spirit, and the Spirit lives, dwells in you, and he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So I not only have Jesus in the presence of God talking about my struggles, I have the Holy Spirit as well. What can I anticipate when the storms of life blow in my direction? I will grieve. But I must believe. Well, help me believe, Brother Dan. Okay. How do you navigate through the gales of storms when they come your way? Know that God provides. Know that God protects. Know that God is there. He cares. Now close your Bible. I want to close with a test. I want you to tell me the first three words of Psalms 23. I bet you know them. Okay, what's the first one? What's the first one? Do y'all talk? What's the first one? The. You can tell we're in the South, can't you? The. What's the second one? What's the third? The Lord is. Now, don't look. What are the last three words of Psalms 23? What's the first of the last three? The. What's the next of the last? Lord. What's the last word? Forever. Ladies and gentlemen, you take the first three and couple them with the last three, and you have the essence of a psalm that can help you navigate through the storms of life. Because the Lord is the Lord forever. The God that took care of David is the same God that is there who cares for me. Isn't that wonderful? So when I struggle, or when my family struggles, maybe Psalm 6, Psalms 13, and Psalms 23 combined can give me some thoughts that can help. The Lord is the Lord forever. And he sent his Son to say this to us in reference to eternity. Salvation is so simple. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Let's stand together and sing.